Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
New U.S. sanctions on Iran took effect today, 6 months after President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the international nuclear deal.
The sanctions target Iran's shipping, financial, and energy sectors, all key to the country's already struggling economy.
The bombs, which the FBI referred to as improvised explosive devices, were sent to the FBI's bomb laboratory in Quantico, Virginia.
We're in Mexico again tonight as thousands of migrants try to find a faster way to the U.S. border. The White House says it's now getting help from the Mexican
Breaking news out of Pittsburgh. The man accused in the shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh is pleading not guilty, and he also wants a jury trial. You can see he's facing a 44 count. So,
in the final seconds before the Boeing 737 MAX crashed into the water, it was traveling at more than 500 kilometers an hour. All 189 people on board were killed.
You've now entered the House of Mystery.
Crime, conspiracy, history, and science.
With your hosts, Al Warren, Mike Brown,
Julie Saab, Michael Butterfield,
Dr. Joseph Usinski, and Michael Hawley.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Boris, darling, you've done it again.
Of course. Never underestimate the power of a snook.
We're back in the House of Mystery, and I'm Al Warren sitting at the controls. And then on the East Coast, near Boston, we've got David Martino.
Hey, Al. Good to be here.
Ah, didn't say North. David.
I know.
Yeah. And welcoming back. You know, it's been a couple of months. We've had the Dark Poutine... Mr. Mike Brown is back. It's good to have you back.
Oh, it's good to be back, Alan. I was hiding for a while because I just decided that being inside was safer for me than being outside. So,
yeah, I don't believe that for a moment. Hit the police. He was on the run.
That's what I cover Canadian crime on my podcast, and I actually commit Canadian crime. So it's.
That would be an excellent story. I think that would be awesome. Could you imagine a crime podcaster gets arrested?
I don't think it would be the first time, to tell you the truth.
Probably not.
for serial killing, it would be.
Yeah, maybe.
But you like serial, so you kill a lot of serial. Now, today we've got really interesting show. We've had some people covering this before. I know with Columbine, we had a few people that were their children had been killed, and we had some of the parents on and some of the things they had to deal with, and one of them had to deal with Alex Jones, which of course is our favorite nut job that we know. And so we're going to cover the Columbine again, and this time we have survivor Amy Over. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's exciting.
Well, not as exciting as being in Columbine. That's
No. That was not an exciting day. That was horrible.
No. So I don't know. I don't want to be a typical host and kind of go through all that stuff that probably a lot of people do, but The first thing I have to say is, okay, so you survived this horrific event, but what led you to come out and go public, sort of, and start a Confronting Columbine podcast?
Well, that's a good question. I actually, they asked me about over a year ago to be the host of Confronting Columbine. And I've been in the public eye a little bit through my advocacy work with the Rebels Project. But I just something in my gut told me that I still had some more healing to do and some more things to confront in my journey. So I decided to take the leap and be the host of this Confronting series. And I took on Columbine full circle. I took on every facet of Columbine.
Before we get too far down the road, can you tell us a little bit about the Rebels Project and what the mandate is and what you do there?
Absolutely. The Rebels Project is a 501c3 nonprofit here in Colorado. It started in Colorado after the Aurora Theater shooting in 2012. And I didn't come on board until about a year or two later as their director of fundraising. But we basically help survivors of mass trauma all over the country. And we're in over 106 communities across the world, sadly enough. We're now offering counseling and services to, it's called Project Journey, which is our counseling program. And we have a few survivors in that program right now, and we help and fully fund their journey.
Wow. When you say at the beginning, you say something about you still had a lot of healing. Of course, I haven't been through anything like you did. So I don't have the experience. I can only ask, does the healing ever really happen? Because all of us here write a lot of true crime or horror. Mm-hmm. And when you're involved in that, we deal with a lot of victims and survivors. I didn't really get the feeling with any of the ones I've talked to that they, I don't know how to say it. If they, it's sort of changed their life, and I don't know. Does the healing ever end? Is it something you have to keep at working at?
It's something that I keep working on an everyday basis. I have anxiety disorder. I struggle with panic attacks sometimes. But I really had to confront this hit list that apparently I was told I was on. And I needed to get information from the lead investigator, Kate Batten, which is in one of the later episodes in the podcast. And she actually shows me the hit list. So it's pretty crazy. And it really just helped me, find answers. And I needed that for some of my healing process. And just to learn some of the details of the crime and to talk to like people like Mary Ellen O'Toole and really just dive into why our perpetrators committed this act and what, and I needed to talk with other survivors as well and see where they're at in their healing process.
Can you explain what you mean by hit list?
It is a list that one of the perpetrators wrote out saying that he wanted to kill a certain people. And he actually had two lists.
So at the end of this, did you get out of the podcast? Like, how many episodes are there? There's three?
There's 10 episodes, 10. And then there'll be bonus episodes as well. What is it? But there are 10 episodes.
So what is it that you hope listeners get? Because this is not just about you. You're putting it out there. Where is it you want people what is it you want them to get to take away from it?
I want them to know what a great community Columbine is. And I think there's a lot of myths that came out of Columbine. And, you know, Dave Cullen really talks about it in his book, Columbine. And I get to interview him. And I think it's really important to just, navigate and talk about all the myths, because people want to say that Columbine happened because of bullying and Columbine happened because of the trench coat mafia. And, you know, everyone wanted to blame somebody. So I think it's really important that we talk about certain myths that were, you know, given through the media. And I want people, you know, I want law enforcement to be able to share their story of that day. You know, a lot of times, you know, law enforcement, they don't get to show their true colors sometimes, you know, especially with trauma. And, you know, Columbine was such a pivotal point in history. And I think, and a lot of mistakes were made, especially with SWAT. They used to secure the perimeter of a crime scene before they go in. Now they go in, and if there's an active shooter, they go to shoot to kill. But so there were a lot of mistakes made. It's kind of like multifaceted. I want people to understand what the survivor community looks like. I want them to understand what, Frank DeAngelis, what he went through, just everything. And that literally it was like Martians landed. And it was all on national television. And we were so young. We were only teenagers trying to navigate this.
Having worked for a short time in social services, I'm curious, what does the recovery process look like for someone who's gone through something like this? And what are the counseling sessions like? And are there any counseling methods that are, you know, deemed more effective?
You know, a lot of our survivor community talks about EMDR therapy, which is eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing, I believe it's called. But EMDR has been highly effective in helping with nightmares, and it kind of retrains your brain. So that has been, and talk therapy has been really helpful. We always tell the Rebels Project, we always tell survivors to, when they're ready, to walk through their steps of that day. Like, for instance, I walked through my steps at Columbine several times in my recovery.
So let's talk about it a little bit. Where were you when this happened?
I was in the cafeteria getting ready to have lunch. I just got a basketball scholarship that morning through my coach, Dave Sanders. And I was going down to tell all my friends about it, and then the shooting started happening.
So now, of course, this was a complete surprise. You never knew anything like this was going to happen. What was your initial reaction?
I thought it was a fight outside, to be honest with you. I didn't know it was going to be this planned out massacre, but it was supposed to be a bombing, actually, but it ended up turning into they came in, the bombs didn't go off at 11:17 like they were supposed to, and they came in shooting at the propane tanks. I was in the cafeteria underneath the table while I was hearing all the gunfire, and then I watched my coach Dave kind of navigate and tell us where to go, and then he told us to run and get out of the building. So I took his cue and ran as fast as I could out the main entrance of the cafeteria, and ran as we were running out, we were being shot at.
Mm. So I'd imagine now quite a few of the survivors like yourself are, you know, a little bit older, and quite a few have families themselves. How is that for putting your own kids into school?
Yeah, that, so putting my daughter in to preschool set off just a multitude of problems for me. The day I sent her to preschool, I actually ended up in the hospital because I fainted, and, I had a panic attack and I thought I was dying. And my doctor at the time just told me I had panic disorder and I had to go back and get help. And that was years later after the Columbine shooting. It was years later that I had, you know, this traumatic effects of my trauma. It just came out. It came out of nowhere.
So it was kind of, it was something you kind of put away, something hidden for all that time.
Absolutely. And it's something that I deal with to this day. And now my daughter is a freshman in high school, and her first day this year and at school, I had that panicky feeling that this was going to happen to her. And it's something that I struggle with on, you know, not on a daily basis, but it's something that's in the back of my mind. I know that the kids are safe, and I'm not going to stop sending my kids to school, but it's definitely something that, you know, is in my life.
How did you explain it to her?
Columbine?
Yeah. Like how you did talk to her about it, didn't you?
I did. When she was 12 years old, it was the Columbine anniversary, and I took her, well, she was curious about what happened to me. She wanted to know all the details. And so I shared them with her, and I told her all about it, and we spent the day together, and it was really lovely, like walking up to the memorial with my daughter. Dave Sanders' daughter, Connie, came up to us and gave Brianna, my daughter, some flowers. And so it was just kind of fitting for the moment. But that was the first day that I really shared my experience with her.
So now in the world today, and how things have gone, and the constant shootings in schools and stuff, and Parkland and all of the stuff, what's your feeling on gun control itself?
You know, and I try to stay, so politically, I try to stay out of the gun reform and gun control, you know, topics, just because of, I help run a nonprofit organization. And if I choose sides, then, you know, I want everyone to feel comfortable coming into the Rebels Project. So, but personally, me, just talking off the record, like I'm pissed off. This has got to change. Something has to change. We as a society need to figure out, what to do with, you know, gun reform. And I think it's really important to, it's also a mental health issue. And talking with Kate Batten and FBI profiler Mary Ellen O'Toole, this seems like a male issue in society, a young male issue. So we need to start looking at this differently. And I don't know what that is and how to stop mass shootings, but I mean, we've got to figure out, like, you know, Kate Batten had mentioned that boys are lacking in coping skills. So maybe that is a reason why, you know, we're, you know, they're apt to go grab a gun and shoot up a school. So it's such a multifaceted issue, and I don't know how to stop it. And I wish I could stop it.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting topic, because I don't know, not that I had any great coping skills, especially when I was young, but I didn't have the urge to shoot even the bullies, even the people that, mm-hmm. let's say, were mean to me. But I also grew up in Canada, so it's not like we had the access to the guns.
Yeah.
So that's a little different. And it's something that seems to be picking up again recently this year. So I definitely think there's a mental element to it. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I do. I think it's not so cut and dry with, you know, take away all the guns. I don't think anyone should have a magazine. I don't know why anyone would need something like that. I'm not.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm not saying get away, get rid of your Second Amendment right. I own guns, handguns, but, you know, they're locked up safely and I'm a responsible gun owner. But at the same time, it's like something's got to give. We've got to have stricter gun laws. We've got to have stricter background checks. And, you know, it's got to be a mental health. It's a mental health crisis, too.
Do you worry about backlash on that sort of subject?
I definitely worry about backlash on that subject. And that's why I pretty much don't talk about it, because I, you know, my focus is on the aftermath after someone has gone through a mass trauma, and not gun reform. Now I will go to gun rallies though. I have been to March for Our Lives. My daughter and I did a glamour piece a few years back, after Parkland. My daughter wanted to go be a part of that movement and I supported her. So, I have to be careful when dealing with that subject.
Yeah. And the things are so political nowadays, like things are pretty wild, especially in the US. I don't know what's going to happen. And I see this with, like, when we talk the last 4 years and we talk about the gun control, but we can also talk about people like Alex Jones and that whole nutball squad. Mm-hmm. And how does that sit with you? Like, how do you deal with people that kind of say that Columbine didn't happen, that it was a hoax, that there was crisis actors and all that? Like, what do you do with that?
I don't even acknowledge it. I mean, that's just absurd to say that Sandy Hook never happened. Like, I've worked in that community, and we've seen the carnage and the sadness and everything that has happened in that community. I mean, it's just, I can't even go there. Like, it's just, it doesn't even resonate with me. I'm like, I can't believe someone would say that that didn't happen or it was a hoax.
That's, I think it goes back to mental illness.
Yeah, I think it does too. I definitely think it goes back to mental illness and you know, conspiracy theories. I can't even go there. All I know is that when someone goes through a mass shooting, that there are support services out there to help people through it.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to stop.
Like, well, it's a good thing, right? I mean, it's something that, yeah, it wasn't there when it happened to you.
No, it wasn't. And that's why our CEO, Heather Martin, she, you know, she wanted a support system. And so she made one. And apparently it's needed. You know, it's definitely needed.
When you speak to other survivors, what do you tell them?
You know, I like to just listen, and, you know, when they want to tell me their story, it's so personal that I sit back and I listen. Sometimes we cry and we definitely hug, and it's powerful when you get to meet another survivor that understands what you've gone through. And I've met shooting survivors that have been shot, and I've met some that have invisible wounds that and survivor's guilt. And, you know, it's just a safe space that everyone can talk about their feelings, and a lot of laughter. And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of us have a dark sense of humor. So we kind of have like a, I don't know, like mass shooting survivors. I can't speak for all of them, but at least like our group is kind of quirky and goofy. And we talk about our, you know, triggers and things that make us jumpy and things, you know, sounds. And it just normalizes, you know, what we went through.
It's necessary.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, to validate someone's feelings is really powerful.
Well, and you'll find that, you know, because I know in the true crime world too, we have a dark sense of humor, and sometimes it can get pretty, some people kind of get upset, you know, when they hear some of the things we'll say, and it's like, well, it's kind of a way of coping with it. Don't you find?
Yeah, I do. And it's, you know, like, well, you know, I'll say to my mass shooting community, I'm going to shoot you an email. And, you know, it's just, we're just, you know, it's just like, I'm like, oh crap, I just said shoot, you know, yeah. Like
gallows humor.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we just, you know, humor has gotten us through this a lot of times, you know. I mean, you've got to find humor in life. You've got to learn to laugh again and to find joy in life, because the world is a scary place, but, you know, it's, you got to learn how to cope and get through things and come out of it okay. And you can come out of it okay. It just takes some time.
Yeah. And I agree with that. You really do have to, find the laughter, find a little bit of humor in this, because, otherwise it'll be dark all the time, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, my mom, so I wore these really stupid wedge shoes when I was running from the shooting. And I couldn't run in them. They were ridiculous. And my mom was like, I looked fabulous. But like, my mom was like, why didn't you take those dumb shoes off? And I was like, well, they're really expensive, mom. I can't like take them off. Like, I'm not going to lose my shoes.
I'm live on TV.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you just got to find like humor and, you know, funny things. You know, I remember after the shooting, we went to Chatfield High School to finish up our year. And we were sitting in this circle talking about our feelings. And, you know, this special needs boy is, you know, just getting up and being goofy. And we're just, you know, we found laughter and like happiness and joy. Like, he brought us joy, you know, during just a really sad time. Like, he was trying to make us laugh. And I think like we needed that at that time.
So now, looking back at things, how do you think this changed your life? How did this change where you were going to go? Do you know what I mean? How the future?
Oh, that's a hard question. What do you think
would have happened to you if you weren't at the school that day? You had been sick or something.
You know, if I wasn't there, I probably would have had survivor's guilt or, I don't know. But I would have gone off and played basketball. But I wouldn't have met my husband. So, you know, I try to look at the positives that, you know, that day, you know, it brought me, you know, tremendous sadness, but at the other side of it, like, it has brought me amazing opportunities to meet new people, to love I love my life. I love my family. I cherish life every single day, and I don't take it for granted. I know that life can be cut short very quick.
Yeah, that's for sure. The so your day-to-day life now, what's it like?
It's really busy. I have four kids. Oh. So my day-to-day life is, you know, I'll get up in the morning, I'll get all the kids off to school. And then I usually have like lunches for the Rebels Project and, you know, emails and, well, and this past year I've been working on the podcast, every day. So that has kept me really busy this year.
Ongoing. So what would your message be to someone else that's, in a crisis like this or been through some sort of a shooting or something, in the same area as you?
You know, Boulder just happened here in Colorado. I would love to tell them that, you know, when you're ready, there's a support system out there for you. And just, you know, don't stop your marathon. Keep running your marathon, no matter how hard it gets, no matter if you don't think you can go on anymore, you can. And it takes just a lot of time and, you've got to find a support system. I think that is a number one, is you've got to find a support system that of people that you trust and that people that will validate your feelings and be there for you. You know, and just never stop running your marathon because it's an ongoing path that you're on, you know?
There's a key part there when you said, that when you know you're ready, how does a person know what is that time for someone?
Sometimes it's when you hit rock bottom, like literally hit rock bottom, like whether that's with addiction, it's with, a lot of our peers have had addiction issues. It could be mine was ending up in the hospital, bed thinking I'm dying with a panic attack. That's when I knew I needed to go get some more help. It could be, you know, just you're ready to talk about it. You know, I think it's really important to, you know, listen to your body, listen to, you know, I was like physically ill all the time because I had a lot of PTSD and trauma, and that manifested into like me being physically ill. So just, I think it's just really important to listen to your body and find a support system.
Yeah. Yeah. I listen to my body all the time.
Me too. I'm 40 now and stuff hurts.
Oh, wait till you're 60
or 50.
Yeah. You forget what part is hurting. You
don't even know.
My body's really mad at me.
Yeah. Me too. My body's mad at me too.
Yeah. That's just, now what's your now, for people that are listening and they want to listen to your podcast, where do they go find it?
You can find it on every platform, Apple, Spotify, Google, Wondery, anywhere. And then people can just, they can find us on Facebook, Instagram, just go to Confronting Columbine, and we're everywhere.
And do you have a website or a website that you suggest people go to?
That is a good question. And
you don't have it.
And I don't have it. And I knew you were going to ask that of me.
Well, that's okay. We'll figure it out. And when we do get it, we will put it up on our website and let people have access
that.
To it. And then they can just click and find out and stuff. And,
definitely.
But now people could check out therebelsproject.org if they're interested in learning more about that.
Definitely. They can check us out on therebelsproject.org, and we're all there, and we're a small grassroots company, and we love what we do, and we love just being with the survivor communities.
Well, that's really so. How's this been with COVID in the last year and all this, like with the Rebels and so how's that going? Is it makes it quite a bit harder, I guess.
You know, we have to do our monthly, we actually have a monthly meeting tonight, with our survivor group, and it's via Zoom. So we're not going to be able to have our survivors gathering this summer, which we fly out survivors all over the country and have a whole weekend of healing and just connecting. So we're not going to have that this summer. And then I'm doing a golf tournament in August. So I'm hoping that that's going to be able to happen. But so far, so good. And it looks like we're going to be able to have our ninth annual Rebels with a Cause fundraiser. So.
Wow. Well, you should tell me where that is. So I'll make sure I get there with my anti-mask rally. And
yeah, do it.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's quite a world. Well,
it is.
Well, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure meeting you and having you
Thank
on
you.
The show, and wish you most success in the future, and hopefully
Thank you so
it turns
much.
Out, you know, it's just good that you're out there doing this, and
definitely.
Hopefully it helps. It helps a lot when you guys all can get together physically, but doesn't it?
It does. It helps so much. I mean, and you know, I mean, we talk on Facebook and, you know, all the time. We have a very private group in within Facebook that has like 1,000 or almost 2,000 members to it. But we, you know, we can connect that way, but it's just better in person. It's just awesome when you've been talking to somebody for a long time and then you finally get to like physically meet them. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about the support of someone when they're with you physically rather than just online all the
but
time.
But we're pretty fortunate. We're still afloat and we're still there and we're still going to be there for people, but we're excited to get back out into the community.
So where are you off to next? You're going to keep on doing this or have you heading to Hollywood or what's going on?
I want to be a probation officer, I think. Ooh. I got my degree in criminal justice and I think I would love to go into I would love to be a probation officer. I think that's probably next and still work for the Rebels Project and take care of kiddos. So that's kind of where I think I'm headed.
And you said you do kickboxing.
I do. Yeah. They actually just offered me a job this week.
Well, you know, you can start kicking people.
That was a really big part of my healing and my recovery was I started fighting actually. And I had a fight when I was like 26 years old. I ended up having my first USA boxing match and it was, I lost, but it was so much fun. But, you know, Mike Tyson says it's always fun until you get punched in the face. So
absolutely.
Or bit in the ear.
Yeah, you always have, he said, you always have a plan until you get punched in the face. So, and my plan went out the window when I got punched.
Yeah. Well, but it's important to do that physical work too, don't you think? I mean,
absolutely.
Like when you're actually out there, you know, kicking and hitting and stuff like that, it's kind of a way of getting your aggression out, right?
Oh, yeah. And plus I have ADD, so I can't sit still. And I think it's really important for me. I'm such a physical person to begin with and I love sports, so for me that is my best outlet, and I mean I would much rather go kick and hit something than sit in a therapy session.
Yeah Well, you know, and if Dave and you weren't married, he'd be the perfect husband for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
he loves getting beat up by his wife.
That's
so funny.
So you must wear the pants in the house then, eh?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yep.
Well,
my husband doesn't mess with me, that's for sure.
Oh, I was going to say, no. She's got guns too. Well,
that's awesome.
It's been a pleasure. And hopefully everything keeps going well for you. And
awesome.
Our guest has been the survivor, and she's also the host of Confronting Columbine podcast. Amy Over, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.